This is Pharaoh's house.
Greetings, kindred souls and kind spirit bodies. In this podisode, worship versus respect and honor is the first segment. Refer to my past podisodes 78, 83, and 84 for context. Worship, the act and the word, is an English word that evokes religion or a religious act, at least when you think of it. Obviously, the word action differs depending on linguistic, cultural, language, and so-called spiritual patterns. Our focus here is the English use of this word action, word hyphen action. A word hyphen action is a compound word I use here to show that many words imply more than just the figurative or abstract. They can convey action in their meanings. Many worship a god, gods, goddess, or goddesses. You may have even heard someone say, he worships the ground she walks on, in reference to how someone reveres another person. In this installation of Empire, the word action worship, regardless of how it is used in various languages, is a word action, which is used blindly for the most part, especially by the so-called masses. Worship tends to generate internal rift patterns within those who indulge in some level of worshiping. Many worship their god or goddess with love and reverence as long as things in life are tolerable, but then those same followers will despise their deity if life becomes intolerable. Some even become non-believers, or they may seek comfort in the metaphorical arms of another religion or spiritual format. Worship is an imbalanced activity. It shows in many ways in every so-called society and so-called culture. For example, males in most so-called societies are indoctrinated, conditioned, trained, socialized to think of themselves as worthy of being sacrificed for women in life-threatening circumstances such as war or disasters or just dangerous circumstances. In fact, the language of worship would suggest that women are idolized even above children, for isn't the call to action wording as such, women and children first? When there are reports on wars or terrorist acts, reporters or witnesses are very clear in pointing out that women and children were victims. Or when feminists decry that we should stop violence against women and children or women and girls, what's the implication? Is it that violence against men and boys is acceptable? In terms of stopping violence against people, men and boys are rarely mentioned, as if to say they are by some unwritten law the default sacrifices in our stratified world of worship. Are men worshipped in this worldwide matriarchy, or archy? Within so-called endogamy, yes, they are. For example, in certain so-called secret orders, males of a particular bloodline within a certain financial designation are looked upon by many as the embodiment of either intelligence or wealth abundance, worthy of the best treatment life and servants have to offer. Women of that so-called caliber are worshipped in the same way, too, by the masses of adoring, envying, self-relegating fanatics, followers, and wannabe neophytes. Basically, all of this is status worship. Once elected, a candidate for worship gets revered by those who elevated him or her. Those who did not vote for that so-called official are considered opponents or even enemies. Worship of so-called deities, ideals, idols, people, traditions, or ideologies along with their authors often fuel conflicts within the empire or both macro and micro levels, i.e. within so-called enclaves, communities, and families. And even worst of all, there's that internal conflict, which, for example, worship of public figures and ideology and tradition and God and goddesses, etc., can generate. The internal conflict is often the worst. The purpose of speaking on this or to this so-called argument of worship versus honor, respect, is to clarify it for so many who are hearing my voice now and beyond. The many of you who have worshiped and have felt or are experiencing the chaos duality that comes with worshiping should recognize a lot of these patterns. You are not designed to worship. Creator, originator is not a god nor a goddess. Those are misnomers and possibly actual monikers of energies that require basically blood sacrifices and emotional dedication endlessly. We are to respect and honor Creator, originator through thoughts, actions, and interactions, and with humility, especially when seeking wisdom through questioning and studying to prove ourselves worthy of truly knowing. We'll move onward, but first, ponder a few words. English words such as sacred, sacrilege, and sacrifice in the context of worship and word action. Notice the similar so-called prefix in each of those words, sacra or sacri. Sacri or sacri could be considered as prefixes depending on the context. They both have roots in Latin sources where the word meant sacer, or was said as sacer, meaning sacred or holy. In English, they are often used as prefixes in words related to religious or ceremonial contexts. For example, sacrilege or sacredness. Sacrilege refers to the violation or misuse of something that is considered sacred or holy, especially in a religious context. It involves disrespecting or desecrating something that is regarded as sacred or inviolable. Inviolable. New word? Inviolable. Inviolable. Sacrilege can take various forms, such as defiling religious objects or places, mocking religious beliefs, or committing acts considered blasphemous by a particular religious tradition. Sacrifice is a noun or a verb that refers to the act of giving up something valuable or important, often for a higher purpose or cause. Human sacrifice can be considered sacrilege, particularly in religious contexts where human life is regarded as sacred and inviolable. In many cultures and religions, human sacrifice is viewed as a grave violation of moral and ethical principles, as well as a profound disrespect for the sanctity of life. It is often condemned as a heinous act that goes against the fundamental values of compassion, dignity, and respect for sentient beings. And by inviolable, it means never to be broken, infringed, or dishonored, or violated. In English, ice is typically a noun or a verb, referring to frozen water or the act of freezing something. It is not a suffix, allegedly. It is called in English a morpheme, and it is added to the end of a word to change its meaning or function. Morphemes often convey implied meanings or contribute to the overall meaning of a word. In the case of the morpheme ice, in words like sacrifice and malice, it contributes to forming nouns related to actions or qualities. While ice itself does not have a standalone meaning in these words, it suggests a sense of solidity or firmness. In sacrifice, it means a sense of the action being concrete or definitive, as if something valuable is being set in stone. Similarly, in malice, it conveys the idea of ill will or hostility being hardened or fixed. As for the term sacred, it often implies something that is regarded as holy, revered, or deserving of respect and protection. In many religious or spiritual contexts, sacred objects, places, or rituals are considered to be imbued with special significance and are treated with reverence and care. Therefore, the concept of sacred often includes the idea of being protected or safeguarded from harm or desecration. So, is a sacred sacrifice an oxymoron? Is an idol more or of more importance than the life of a sentient being? If sentient life is considered sacred, does that mean worship, which sometimes involves sacrificing life, is unnecessary? The answer to that question depends on individual beliefs and religious interpretations. Some may argue that worship is not necessarily tied to sacrificing life and can be expressed in various ways, such as prayer, devotion, or acts of service. Others may believe that certain religious rituals or traditions require sacrifices, including those involving life as part of their religious or worship practices. Ultimately, this relationship between the sanctity of sentient life and the necessity of worship is somewhat complex and may vary depending on these cultural, religious, and philosophical perspectives. But one thing that all worshipers, devout or inadvertent, seem to have in common is a tolerance for sentient sacrifice in some way, whether it is an endorsement of self-deprecating males, greed-based aspirations, war, poverty, pollution via complacency and participation. The list is long. Semantics of the word worship aside, everyone is obligated to answer these questions. What do you worship? Who do you worship? Why do you worship? What is blind worshiping doing to everyone and all life around us? Then decide to engage in the acts of honoring and respecting, both together, because they require forethought plus active, humble doing on a constant basis, as opposed to worship. Soon, you'll have clear realization. It will kick in, showing you that worshiping is often just a tool of compliance and complacency for both manipulators and the manipulated. In the next segment, conflict. If you ever took a literature class during your so-called schooling, you may have been led to believe that conflict is so-called normal, or worse, natural in all its formats, from man versus nature to man versus himself. There are other so-called conflict formats, but for this segment, the focus is conflict at home, in the family. Pick which phrase suits your liking best. I guess this would be an example of man versus man. Conflicts don't just pop up, they build up. There are a variety of factors that induce, inspire, inflame, or incite conflicts, fights, arguments in any given home. Instead of focusing on the various factors, we will go to the core. At the core of every action resides either intent motive and or reactive response. I'll illustrate how indulging in one or both of these factors almost always, results in conflict action. First, a few items to consider. Conflict is not the same as self-defense. Often one gets into a conflict or argument using the excuse of self-defense as reason for conflict participation. Self-defense is strategic and in optimum conditions, absent of those emotions that make you lose inner calm and harm others or harm yourself. Self-defense was not meant to be for defending opinions, lifestyles, ideologies, gods or goddesses. Such things are personal and internal. Keep them there, especially when they are known to divide so-called families, communities, and so-called nations.
Your participation is appreciated. This part of the podcast ends here. The longer version is available only to subscribing participants. Subscribe today through one of the links shown in the description to absorb the entire podcast.
Pharaoh's House podcast is the sole property of pharaohshouse.com. All third-party copyrights revert to their original owners. To inquire about syndication or sponsorship, please visit our website at pharaohshouse.com.